Thank you for joining us on The Skeptic Psychic, where we delve into ancient societies, ghosts, the paranormal, UFOs, all looking at it from the perspective of the true believer and from the skeptic perspective. Joining me, my partner, my co-host, my sibling, Kimber Rodriguez. Myself, I am Richard Gregg. And again, let's look into being the skeptic psychic.
Hello, and thank you once again for coming to the Skeptic Psychic, where we like to have wonderful discussions and meet people and tell wonderful stories. And of course, you know, we like to have fun. With me, as always, the brave, courteous, and wonderful sister of mine, Kimber Rodriguez.
Hey, how are you this week?
I'm good, losing weight, you know. I may jump on a space flight to go with Elvis, you know, but other than that, maybe, maybe not.
No, don't go on a space flight with Elvis. We may never see you again.
That's except right.
Except for where you pop up here and there. We don't want that.
Oh, yeah, you do. I'd be an enigma to the world.
Ah, that's no fun.
All right. How about you? What have you been doing here lately?
Just trying to... you know, been meeting with clients, working, not much else, watching movies, watching TV with Mercy.
Ah, well, we do have a guest today, two guests today, in fact. Would you like to introduce these wonderful people?
Yes, today we have Natalie Shelefo and her sister Stephanie Kerr. And from a young age, these sisters displayed extraordinary psychic abilities, often experiencing prophetic dreams that shape their spiritual future. They did embrace a diverse range of spiritual traditions. This included Wicca, indigenous wisdom, Buddhism, and contemporary spiritual thought. This forged a unique path as spiritual eclectics. Sorry, Tom, words hard. also, their journey emphasizes unity, interconnectedness, and personal growth beyond what they've learned within organized religion. So I want to go ahead and welcome Stephanie and Natalie to the show. Is there anything else you want to add to that, or did I do okay?
No, you were great.
Yeah, thank you. That was great.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, we're excited to be here.
Well, we first wanted to just, you know, kind of ask some questions. That way listeners can kind of get a feel of who you are and like, who are these ladies on this show? You know, we're not used to them being here. So so we've got some questions. You want
to
kick
that off?
Make
sure you're not stranger danger.
Right?
No, never. I think we're a little more responsible than that, bro.
Okay, you know, it could never happen.
Right?
Never know. Yeah. So do you want to kick off the questions?
Yeah, I can go ahead and kick off the questions. You know, how, when did you realize both of you had that certain gift?
You want to go first? Sure. So for me, it was, I guess when I was five, I had my grandfather came to me when we were being babysat, right? And we were, because my grandfather had passed away. And of course, you know, we're young, so they don't drag all the kids to the funeral and that type of thing. Natalie would have been two at the time, I think.
Yeah.
And so staying at this babysitter's house, and I'm doing my usual, right? When at 5 years old, they say, go take a nap. And so I'm upstairs taking a nap. And I see the craziest, as a five-year-old, the imagery I had is it's like this black sheet kind of thing weaving across the wall. Scared the bejesus out of me. I go running downstairs. The babysitter says, oh, you're not getting out of your nap that easy, and sends me back upstairs. I jumped in, hid under the covers, looked up again. It's still kind of lingering around, and then it disappeared. It wouldn't come to really any of our thought process until several years later, many years later, that we were, as we were talking about when this happened, that it happened at the exact same time as my grandfather's funeral. So 99.9% sure that was grandpa coming to say goodbye. And from there, it's just been one of those, yes, they exist. There's ghosts. There's spirits, right? There's folks that are passing on, whether they're saying hello, whether they're saying goodbye, whether they're just needing help crossing, Yeah. So for me, it was five.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, Stephanie mentioned, and we're true sisters, even though we have different last names. Yeah. So,
well, we're true brother and sister, and she has a different name.
Right? Marriage does that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, kind of out throughout our entire lives, we've been surrounded by spirits, or, you know, had experiences or noises or things that make you go hmm in the night. And we kind of thought everybody had those same experiences. Okay. Of course, the older you get, the more you talk about it, the more you're like, no, they, you know, think I'm a little bit crazy and I've maybe should just stop.
Right.
And then up until recently, of course, so then, you know, we went down that spiritual path, have been on that spiritual path for about 30 years. And then just a couple of years ago, when I was up at the Stanley Hotel, I was there with my child and one of his friends. And we were just doing, you know, ghost hunting and looking for spirits and all of those good things. And we really didn't have a ton of huge experiences, but we were sitting in our room and we were kind of debriefing, just sitting on the bed talking. And we had flashlights that we had inadvertently left to the sides of the bed on the nightstands. And one of them turned on. And I looked over and I saw something. And I was like, wow. And but nobody else saw it. And that's when I realized that I could also hear them. And she looked at me and said, you can see me? And I put my, and in this whole transition of things, because it happened so quickly, I put my little SLS camera up and I also saw her shape, but then I lost what I saw with what it started, you know, at that point to become the ability.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. When you were talking about your grandfather visiting at his funeral, it reminds me that when my grandmother passed, I wasn't able to go to her funeral either. Mm-hmm. We were up living in Denver, Colorado, and it was my senior year doing finals. And she was down in Texas. So my dad's like, well, why don't you stay here, you know, for school and everything while we go down for her, because she was sick at first. But then a couple of months later, I had a dream where she came to me to say goodbye. And at first I wasn't sure if it was a dream or a real visitation. But then at the end, she's like, I have to go, but I want you to know, no matter what anybody says, I'm proud of you and I love you. Shortly after that, somebody said some things that reminded me of that point of the dream when she said that. And it just solidified right there that that was a visitation. That was not a dream. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I still believe that she came to say goodbye to me.
Well, that's amazing. What a gift.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. And there, you know, and that's just where we, as we've taken it forward now, as we're doing, whether it's readings or whether it's working in mediumship skills or crossings or whatnot, it's the same thing, right? It's how people are sharing their energy. They tell their stories. Everyone, this isn't one thing we really want to share and teach is it's not a gift. Everyone can do this. Everyone is psychic. Everyone has their intuitive abilities. Everyone has some skill of mediumship. It's whether or not you're open to receiving it, right? And whether you are you willing to tap in and pay attention to it? Or are you going to let fear just say, mm-mm, don't want to do it. I don't want to know. And there's some folks that just don't want to know. And okay, good for you. Yes. We'll help you when you're ready.
Was the rest of your family open to your abilities when you came out that you had them?
We think so. We've had some family members who were like, hey, I want to do this or that, or I want to talk to this person. So we've had them approach us, and we've helped them with readings or understanding some things that they wanted to understand. But we've also had some that just don't even discuss it with us.
Right.
And that's okay too.
Yeah. I mean, yes. You know, we earned our street cred, so to speak, in the corporate world. So we did the college and we're in the corporate jobs and we do those things. So that bought the credibility in terms of, okay, we're not totally cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but they're still like, oh, okay, we don't know about that. Those sisters.
Yeah. Like,
we're meeting that societal line as well as, you know.
Right. We're like, whatever, we're coming out of our broom closet. Just get out of the way.
Oh, yeah, I definitely get that also. We've had some family members that are like, You shouldn't mess with that stuff. And this is all we do is talk about it, really. I mean, we both have abilities, but we aren't, we don't use them as often. But we
And
have
I
family
don't like using
members.
mine.
Yeah. Our family members are like, you know that that's dangerous and you need to trust in Jesus Christ. And I'm like, thank you. I appreciate your concern.
You're doing okay.
Yes.
The love, I
Yes.
love you too.
Yeah. That's the reason why I love Jesus Christ, and he says it's okay.
Yep,
Yes.
exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Do other members of your family have these talents, or is it just you two?
Well, in talking with our mom a lot more lately and just listening to stories and things, I think she is. She just never knew it. So, now she's finding out more and more that, oh, and as we're doing and saying things, all of a sudden she's seeing things and things are becoming more open. And getting past life or getting historical and things like that done, it really does go back ancestrally. We think it was probably our great grandmother, based on stories we've heard, that was probably very, very open.
Very in tune, yeah.
Yeah.
And our dad also
Interesting.
does
Yeah.
energy work.
Oh yeah.
He
Oh.
instructs in Tai Chi and Kung
He's working on Qigong, but he
Qigong.
does Tai Chi as well.
That's
So
awesome.
and loves a lot of the native principles. And he's always been a huge philosophy fan, right? So in terms of that, it's kind of one of those, oh, okay, well, you throw in some things that maybe they wouldn't think of, and but they don't judge.
That's awesome.
Well, either one of you ever been read by a fellow seer?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And it's fun, right? And the thing is, we'll let people practice with this too. We work with as mentoring and so on, where we'll take turns reading for people and then they read for us. Because that's how you learn and that's how you grow, right? So that you learn to what we call a dictionary. It's your dictionary of terms. So when I see something continually in readings, I learn to recognize that's what it means when I'm seeing it. It would mean something totally different for her, potentially. So it's all it totally interpreted based on everything that we're doing over and over again. So yeah, it's good practice for other folks that want to do it.
Awesome. Yeah, I was at a group that one of our friends teaches for a tarot, and it's a beginner tarot reading group. And so each person goes along, and it's like you ask your question, and each person pulls a card and interprets the question based on the card they pull. And I always feel like when I'm doing it, okay, is this just stuff I'm making up? Is any of this resonating? Because I don't get a lot of feedback. So it's like for all I know, I'm just living in the stream world and, just saying whatever. And they're like, yeah, that makes no sense, but I'll be nice.
When we're doing practice groups and working with others and mentoring, or I'm being mentored, or however that's working at that moment, I always worry about that too. I'm like, are they just nodding because they're, we're on a friendly basis and they don't want to upset me? I'm really working out for them, so.
Right. Now,
Yes.
like I said, first time we talked, you guys did kind of point out the fact that there is something of a railroad or a train in our Kimbrids and I's life. And
Yes, I saw
so
that.
I dealt very seriously on my Facebook or anything like that. You see anything about trains, so
No. No, that was Natalie.
Yes.
She saw that just loud and clear, something about the
Right.
trains. And I think there was a sick bed or something. What else did you see?
Yeah, I saw
Yeah, which is interesting because we lost both our grandfather and our father to cancer. And
Both
when
of
our
them.
yeah
I'm
both of
sorry.
them did work with the railroad. And when my grandfather passed, Richard was actually at his deathbed before he passed. So
And I did something I've always wanted to do to him when he was dead. I just leaned in and kissed him on the head and said, "Goodbye, I love you."
oh, it's hard. That is hard. What a great thing for him as he starts to transition.
Right.
Yes. So tell us one thing that you love about each other, being sisters.
Her brain.
Her brain.
Lots of her brain. Yeah, she's Brilliant. She's got her master's degree in what, business admin, right? From DU, Denver University, University of Denver. So no shrinking violet. So I'm always impressed with her brain. I think what I love is that we can, one of the many things is we've always been best friends. We can fight, we can slam a door, but we acknowledge each other immediately and we can come right back to it. There is not a thing that we can't share and be honest about. Not a thing. And it may be one of those, hey, it's not intended for anybody else, whether it's the family, friends, anybody, but there's no secrets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Like I said, Kimber and I, even though we're 6 years apart, have just such a wonderful relationship where we could sit there and argue for about 5 or 10 minutes, and about a couple minutes later, hey, dinner's ready.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then also being brother and sister, you usually see that bond like with two brothers or two sisters, but a brother and sister having that bond is something that is really special to us. Yeah,
that's very sweet. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I tell everybody he's not just my brother; he's one of my best friends.
And you're my favorite sibling.
Yes, yes, I have five other brothers, so yeah, that's why he says sibling.
Got it.
Yes, the only girl and 7 children. So
she's your favorite sister for sure.
Definitely.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That's what I tell my mom. Every time I talk to my mom, she's like, "Well, you know, you're my favorite daughter." I'm like, "Mother, I'm your only daughter."
Right.
And she's like, "That's why you're my favorite."
Yeah. Thanks, Mom. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And my mother thinks I'm the good kid.
Right. So mm-hmm. how do each of you experience your talent? Is it something that you see in your mind in images, or do you hear words or colors? And how did you learn to interpret what you're experiencing with it?
So like Stephanie was talking about, that whole dictionary creation. So over the hundreds of readings that we've done at this point, you know, there's certain things that mean certain things to me. So I'll see that in my mind's eye as I tap in. And that will, you know, typically tell me what's going on with that person. I know that she does experience more in color. And recently I've started hearing words.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think, you know, just for doing this for, you know, just over a year, that's kind of, developing in that pattern. So I'm excited to see where that goes from here.
Yeah. Mine's color. Lots of different colors. I definitely hear, I know my biggest ones, if I'm looking at the clairs, right? All your different clairvoyance, clairaudient, et cetera. Hearing is a big one. The seeing in terms of all the color, those are two of my most prominent. And then there'll be images. There's generally images. But like when it's mediumship or spirit guides, I'll get a name. And sometimes there's imagery, whereas for her, she'll have like full medium people kind of joining. And for me, it might just be like, I feel like it's your uncle and his name is, you know, Harry Henry. And they're going, yes, my blah, 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 and whatever. So it really varies, but the colors are huge for me. I've always dreamed in color, mm-hmm. always. And they're always very, very much a movie, right? I'll explain them to the family and they're like, this was all night. I'm like, well, I don't know. It was just one dream that I remember when I woke up. Mm-hmm. So probably not. But it's every night. It's all mm-hmm. always dream.
She's very vivid.
Yeah. Very, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
I dreamed the other night that I was in a movie with Robert De Niro, and it was sort of like this musical type thing. You know, it had the bright lights, kind of a mixture of New York, Piccadilly Square, Tokyo, that sort of thing. All these images were going through.
Interesting. Yeah. What did that represent to you? Because normally I can pull something out of mine.
What it meant to me was the fact of I've got to start using my creativity, because, I mean, where else would you see Robert De Niro in a white gown, hospital gowns at the top of his lungs with an IV out of his arm, you know?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Definitely some expression needed there. I mean, the first things I get from that when you say spotlights, I heard Tokyo. So there's some travel, there's some need for you to get out of your comfort zone a little bit, get out of your space. And explore, right? And some of that is your creativity, just like you were talking about, with knowing that you need to get that out there, but I think you need to take it on a bigger level, and that's why you're seeing bigger places than just like down the street someplace.
Right.
Yeah, my dreams are usually very vivid, where I mean all my senses are proactive. I can smell things, I can taste things, full of emotion. Like I wake up and I can still feel the emotions of the dreams. I mean, they're just very, very powerful. And I feel like they say people who dream vividly don't sleep well. And that's definitely me.
Really? Oh, I sleep great.
Oh no, I always wake up tired. And, but like I said,
because you're exhausted from running through all your dreams.
Right, yeah, maybe. Exactly.
Yeah. Are you also an empath?
I've been told I am. I've always thought of myself as being empathetic.
Okay.
Because I'm very compassionate towards people, but I've had several sensitives tell me, no, you are not just an empathetic, you are an empath. And I know Richard is as well.
Yeah, empathic. I get that feeling as well. And the reason, so difference being, and I'm sure that they told you the same thing, is yes, very empathetic, and that's amazing. It's always good to be that. But when you go into a really crowded space, if there's negative energy, do you feel the need to run right away? Do you feel it like overwhelmed going, okay.
That's him. For me, it's people. Like I've come across people that I'm just like, I just get a very negative vibe for this person. And I think to myself, well, I try to write it off. Like there was this one girl and I just, from the beginning, there was something about her. And I thought it was jealousy that, you know, cause she came into my, to the place that I work. She surpassed me very quickly. And so I was like, I'm just jealous. And I would be like trying to rationalize it and come to terms with it and be like, okay, you shouldn't feel this way about this person. And then sure enough, she did some stuff that was really toxic in the environment. And then another person too, the same thing happened. I got very negative vibes from them. I ignored them. Then when it all came tumbling down, my boss turned to me and he's like, you know, I love you, but next time, please warn me of these people in advance.
If you can tell, let me know.
Yes, definitely. Because he's oblivious. He loves everybody and wants to give everybody a chance. And
yeah,
yeah, I'm just like, maybe we shouldn't do this one.
Right. Those
It's been several times where I've been kind of in the kind of get that feeling of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And let me tell you a little story. I was in a adult club with another and this other guy was sitting next to me, making all these you know, I'm being friendly to the owner, being friendly to the manager, I'm being friendly to the waitresses, and this guy is just, his loud mouth is getting on and on and on and on. The manager came over to me and says, man, you know, you want to go ahead and go, you know, your tab's been taken care of, you have a nice night. I said, well, thank you, and I shook his hand and walked out the door, and the room became very dark after I as I was leaving. So I wasn't sure whether that other gentleman was going to be taken care of, more or less,
in a different way.
In a different way, yeah.
Roughed up by the bouncer,
right?
Yes. So. Yeah. I know we're here tonight to talk about spirit guides. What would you say, because I know a lot of people, there's angels, there's spirit guides, there's, you know, all these different...
dark entities, light entities, you know, all these different phases of the spiritual world, you know.
Yes.
And what exactly is a spirit guide?
Oh, that's a great question. So, like... all of the things that you just mentioned, there are so many different, so, you know, there's the masters or Jesus, Buddha, you know, whatever your master might be. And then there's God or the universe or archangels and Metronon and, you know, the list goes on and on. So when you are working with your spirit guides, typically you have spirit guides that come in and out of your life. They come in to serve a purpose, to teach you a lesson, to move you through something on your path. You also have one that it's maybe, and this is kind of my belief right now, are kind of assigned to you through your entire life to make sure you're kind of walking that path that you agreed to when you came here. So you can have 4, 5, 6, 2 spirit guides at a time, but then you also have spiritual people that will come in and help you on your day-to-day basis on, you know, whatever you need to learn that day or whatever you're trying to accomplish. That's how
I'm sorry. So what's the difference between a guardian angel and the in and out of a spirit, the certain spirit guides, just to clarify?
Oh my gosh, you just read my mind. I was just going to ask that when you interrupted me.
So I actually kind of see them as one and the same. Your spirit guides are always with you and they operate as that guardian angel as well. So we work with one of our mentors because, you know, you got to stay real in the entire field. One of our mentors has a really good story about this, about your spirit guides. They'll throw little pebbles or rocks at you to keep you on your path. So, you know, those little challenges that make you turn away or maybe go this way, those rocks get bigger and bigger the more you don't listen until something significant happens to push you into the right direction. And of course, on the other side, if you're so far on your path, but you're headed toward a car accident, that's not supposed to be there. They will push you back on this path as well, being that guardian angel, keeping you in between your guardrails. So I really see them as the same.
Agreed. So like a minesweeper.
Kind of. Yeah.
In the Navy, there is a ship that goes through a canal that will try to attract all the mines away from you. And because I was on a minesweeper when I was in the Navy. So that's what you're describing to me is more or less of a
that's what I see.
Mm-hmm.
But you leave the little mines there to make sure the ship doesn't go off course. This is the course you follow.
Right.
The mines are going to be outside of it.
Yeah. Back in 92 or 93. I remember a friend of mine was on the USS Tripoli during the original Desert Storm, Desert Shield. Mm-hmm. And the reason why the Tripoli got hit by a mine is the captain decided it wanted to back up. So when it backed up, it actually hit one of those little mines.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my. It made a change off course that was not planned.
Exactly.
Right. And that's what your whether it's your guardian angels, your spirit guides, whatever you want to really refer to them as, it's all about guidance. Right. So you talk to them in the morning and you set your intentions and say nothing that's not meant for my highest good or for the highest good of others, and ground yourself for your day and then say, okay, here we go. And you're like, are they sitting back and enjoying a nice lunch, or are they like throwing rocks at you going, pay attention. Good God, get up, woman, get up.
I love the minesweeper, though.
Minesweeper's a great analogy.
I'm going to keep that for stories going forward.
It's a great analogy.
Yeah. I'll give you permission to use it.
Thank you.
I have this on recording.
Great. So. It's recorded.
Right.
We heard yes. it. So how would one get in like contact with their spirit guides to make that connection?
Sorry, we have dogs for letting out. So really working with spirit guides is more about paying attention. Do you want me to stop?
No. I was just going to make the comment of like, now we know who let the dogs out.
We let the dogs out.
Right.
Yes.
So yeah.
It's, yeah.
You can go ahead and continue if you like.
Perfect. And I think that's kind of, there's like a fad draw towards spirit guides right now. And I think so many people really want that connection with figuring out their own path. And I think working to get to your spirit guide is really about paying attention. So some people may just stop paying attention and start understanding or start hearing. Other people really have to do the work to pull into that connection. And by doing the work, it's like, you know, getting the stuff that you believe about yourself out of the way. Like, who were you told to be when you were a little kid? Were you going to be Lutheran, Methodist, Buddhist? What did you have to believe? And what did you develop into because of that? So you start moving some of that out of the way, and it opens you to really any possibility. And once possibilities start becoming more open, the more you're going to be able to hear or connect to things that, you know, maybe others don't see. You know, there's that story, and I'm going to have to look for the exact reference to this, but like the Indian shaman standing on the shore of a country sees the ships approaching. They've never seen ships before. This is like, you know, way back when explorers were out. No one had ever seen ships before. He's standing there with his entire tribe and no one else sees it. And as they get closer and closer, he starts describing it to other people because they're still not seeing it, because it's not their reality. They wouldn't understand that. But as it gets closer and closer, and as his description becomes more pure, other people also start to see it. So I think we only believe what we believe we can see. And once we open our beliefs, there's a lot of things that we, you know, that's out there that is going to be exciting for all of us. And I think spirit guides are part of that.
I agree.
I think that we were blessed because our mother was such a strong spiritual person herself, as far as her psychic abilities and her sensitivities, that growing up around that, we learned it was okay to embrace them. I think what shows, like, shuts it off for us is our own insecurities and our own fears.
No, not for me.
Not for you? Okay. Well, then I'm
Not
speaking
for me.
for myself.
Think for yourself.
Sorry. At least that's mine.
I just
Well,
had a
what truly
moment
does
in
it for
my
you? Yeah.
see? I had a bad experience in a haunted house to where I just basically shut myself completely off of my ability for several years.
Wow.
I mean, we're talking about physically and mentally, abuse from this entity, so it
Ooh.
scared me very much so. So
Oh my goodness, I was unaware of that.
yeah, it happened in
Gosh.
mom's house out in Atkins.
Where she lives now? Oh wow. That's interesting, because I've never really, I know she's heard and seen things, and so is our stepdad, but I've never really experienced anything there myself. So.
Yeah, that kind of really shut me down. Kind of like, I always like to make this analogy because it's visual. Roddy McDowall made a movie where he was a psychic. I think it was like the Legend of the Hell House or something like that,
Yeah.
where
Haunting of Hill House.
Haunting of Hill House, where he
Yes.
you actually saw this scene where he's standing there alone and you could see him dropping his little psychic shield and he just screams at the top of his lungs because the evil in the house is just invading his mind.
Wow.
That is basically what happened to me, so.
Wow, that's incredible. Wow, what an ex oh.
And you're able to go back to the house without any problems? I mean,
I haven't been back to the house in 15 years.
oh, wow.
I haven't seen my mother in 15 years. Sorry to
Oh
say,
my
people.
gosh. And you're the good
Yes.
son. Yes. How can we distinguish between your own intuition and mis messages from your spirit guides?
Ooh.
That's a great question. So oftentimes, when I think that I might be imagining something into my mind, if it's something that I might connect with, what I do is I pull back in and I try to completely wipe everything away. I reground. And then if it comes back to me, then I truly think that it's something that I'm getting through intuition.
I would say the same for me. It feels like it's a poke or a prod, or it's something from my spirit guides, right? That it's a word or a smack, or you know, something that's more tangible versus intuition. It's like Natalie was saying, I mean, part of it is, okay, clear your mind, sit and clear for a second. Yep, nope, still there. That's intuition, right? There's something else there for me that I'm supposed to be examining. Whereas my spirit guides, it's almost like having a friend around that's going, no, don't do that. Or,
Or you ask it in a way like, show me in a way that doesn't make sense.
right.
And then some really weird image will come across. And it's like, okay, this is really meant for me.
Right. This is
Yeah.
it. Thanks. I appreciate it. Right. Or, yeah. Or like you're running late for something. There's been a lot of times where I'm going, oh, you know, for me, it's great spirit. Some it's spirit, some it's God, some it's universe, whatever it might be. But it's, oh, all the lights just boom, boom, boom. They line up. Okay. Thank you. Love the divine intervention. I appreciate all the help. Yay. And for spirit guides, it's kind of that same thing, right? They're divine intervention. For whatever your belief system is, it's something that's a higher power that's stepping into that to say, not that way. Whereas your intuition, like your dreams, in a similar kind of way, is something that you're catching. It's a dictionary term in your mind's eye that is meant for you to interpret.
Oh, and I should point out the way that this kind of started for us, though, is just noticing everybody has this, where you have so many coincidences that are just showing up in your life. And you're maybe shopping for a Kia Sorento, and all of a sudden you see 8,000 Kia Sorentos on the road. It's those kind of coincidences in your life. You start paying attention to those little things, and they start adding up to bigger things, and they're more than just coincidences.
Well, and I was always told, she's so lucky. And I am. I know that. Completely blessed. I walk into interviews and they're like, sure, I got the job. I mean, I got one job, the very first one we did in corporate world. And they said, well, if your sister's anything like you, just go back out. I mean, we were young, right? It's out of college, first IT job kind of thing. Her interview was next. And he's like, if she's any half like you are, just tell her she's hired too. We'll just skip that interview. We'll see you guys in Florida.
And they really did.
And they
And then
oh, wow.
they paid us to go to Florida for training.
Right. And we're like,
That's when they first met me. It was very, it was
so
lucky.
weird. So yes, very lucky. And it's always been like that. As I get more evolved and more open, the more open, because we've always had some the intuitive abilities. We've always definitely always had the medium and the spirits and the things like that. But as you really start evolving more in those conversations with your spirit guides and so on, you're going, all right, how much is luck and how much is that I'm just picking the right path all the time?
Right.
Right?
Which, yeah, we have to say there's a little bit of both.
There's a lot of, yeah, I'll take luck every day and twice on Tuesday, but yeah.
Can spirit guides assist in healing emotional or physical issues? How would this process work?
I've never thought of it like that. And, I wouldn't rely on my spirit guides. I wouldn't ask them for help in that because that's my path, not theirs. They're here to help me stay on the path, and they'll do what they can for that purpose, but they're not here to serve me.
Interesting.
And I think the guidance from them, there's always, I mean, whether it's holistic or whether it's Western medicine, Eastern medicine, whatever it might be, ultimately, if you're really, really in tune with that, you're also in tune with the alignment of your body, your chakras, you're listening to your guides, you're listening to those things and saying, okay, I've tried some of these approaches. You don't just throw a little dirt on it and say, oh, okay, that giant growth on my arm is going to go away all by itself by asking the stars. Some of that requires a little intervention. So I do believe that they are absolutely there to guide, as Natalie said, and to help you make those really good decisions. But
It's not like a high school football coach that says, just rub some dirt on it and
right,
walk it
sleep
off.
on it. You're fine. Get back out there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Here's your shot of cortisone or whatever it is now. Go shut up and get back out there. Yeah.
You have any questions, bro? I've been asking all
Well,
the
well, I've been asking
questions.
questions as well,
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about your abilities and why you use them or don't use them.
yeah. We know
Well,
why Richard does or doesn't.
I try not to.
yeah, for me, I have been trying to open up to my abilities for quite a while, actually. I have some times where it comes through like clear as day. I'll hear a voice in my head that I know is not mine. Or I'll like smell a smell in the air, which I know there's like 2 in the morning, I'm sitting up watching TV. All of a sudden I'll get a whiff of a perfume. And I know at 2 in the morning, nobody's out walking the streets this close to my house smelling a perfume. Or I'll be asleep and I'll hear a doorbell ring and I'll get up and there's nobody at the door. But then when I try to get it to come naturally, I hit a brick wall. So it's, I think I just need to figure out how to harness and nurture it because when it comes through, it's crystal clear, very powerful. But when it doesn't, I get nothing.
Honestly, my first experience with the paranormal, it was basically I'd be My mother would say I'd be outside at in the dark, either playing with the dogs or talking with people that weren't there. Like 3 or 4 in the morning type thing, because the people would call my mom. Her name is Dixie, by the way, and it'd always be like, Dixie, do you know where your son is? She's like, yeah, he's in bed asleep. No, he's in the backyard, or he's walking down the block.
Oh my.
And I'm 2 or 3, 4 years old when I was doing all this.
She did that too.
Yes.
Imaginary friends. Yeah.
And so when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I started having a few dreams that I could not explain. I would wake up in the middle of the night with people arguing, and it'd just be my dad worked at night, so it and my mom was usually asleep, so I could not understand it. Several little instances throughout my life where nobody knew where I was, because I would wander off talking with somebody that's not there, or follow we also had in our lives about 3 haunted houses we lived in. The first haunted house was basically is the first time I ever experienced what you would probably call a spiritual guide. It was a female nun. I mean, wearing the whole habit and the old
The old cloak,
the old
dirty.
cloak, you know.
Yeah.
And she was a very sweet lady. And also, I'd have a spirit that would actually sit there on looking at me in the middle of the night, which these days would probably they would consider either a tall man or something like that, but it would always keep an eye on me throughout the night. I wake up in the middle of the night, have to go to the bathroom, we'd be sitting there going like this, making sure I was okay.
Interesting. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not awesome at that age.
Right. A
Yeah.
little
Yeah. No, I think.
And when right around the time that I actually my first wife divorced me a couple months before, I had a very vivid nightmare of my grandfather, not the one that I kissed on the top of the head, but my mom's grandfather, my mom's father, who was an alcoholic and died on the side of the road somewhere. But he came to me in a dream, and to me, he's always been the scary man. And he woke me up in the middle of the night, and it's just, the scary man laying over my bed. My ex-wife is still asleep, and I'm like, "What do you want? What do you need from me?" And he just kind of looked at me, sighed, and drifted back. So I called my mom the next day and says, "Mom, I just saw,
Well,
your father in my dream."
didn't you explain the scary man to her? And she's like, "That's my father."
Yes. And she says,
Yeah.
"Well, what do you mean?" And I explained to her, "You know how I always said that Pawpaw Jim was a scary man." She says, "Yeah." I described him to him about what the last thing she saw of her father before he died. And she says, "Okay, what do you think he meant?" I said, "Well, could you show me where he's buried?" I was too little of a kid to go to the funeral back then. So she took me out to the military graveyard where he was buried, and as I'm she's sitting there, she and I are looking at it. She looks down and says, "Hey, Daddy, you wanted to talk to Ricky for a little while? I brought him. This is your grandson." And I sat there, and just for about 15, for Mom says it was like 30 seconds or so, but I felt it was like 15, 20 minutes of just talking to this guy who, to me, scary man, because he, again, alcoholic, and
He also had skin cancer and they had to remove his nose and stuff.
yeah.
Oh, wow.
So It was like I was reconnecting with something that was missing from my younger life. Mm-hmm. So.
And what did he tell you? Because I feel like there was some apologies or him trying to connect with you on a non-scary level, like I am your grandfather and I loved you kind of thing.
It was, well, it was basically kind of a, I got the conversation dealt with the fact of he saw that he was so sorry that he didn't mean to be the scary man. He was proud of me for going into the to the Navy, you know, because he was a Navy man himself, and that he basically, he's like, when you get up to the pearly gates, I've got the first beer for you.
Oh, awesome.
So
yes,
it's really cool. That's a great connection.
So yeah, for you me, it was. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please.
I was just going to say, for me, it was like seeing different things, hearing things. Like, one of my favorite shows when I was a kid was Three's Company.
Oh, boy.
And I can remember, I can remember laying in bed trying to fall asleep in the whole house. Everybody's in bed asleep, and I'm awake, can't sleep. And I could swear I hear the theme coming from my living room. So I'd get up, go in there thinking my parents are in there watching the show. TV's off. Everything's silent. So I go back to bed and I start hearing the theme song again. And I'm like, what is going on? So I get up again, go look, and nothing. And then I remember one of the houses that we lived in, there was something there that was connected to me. And I had a lot of scary instances that happened. But one thing I remember is waking up and seeing a shadow figure. It's like peeping in my door. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was my mom. And I was like, and I mean, it was so dark that you could actually see the outline of the blackness against the darkness behind it. And I was like, oh, is it time to get up? And the figure, I literally saw it nod. And then it like moved away and it was gone. So I get up and I'm like, you know, all the lights are off in the house. I'm like, why is my brother still asleep? He's going to get in trouble. Because he was down, Rick was down the hall sleeping. So I go into the kitchen. Kitchen's pitch dark. I turn around and look at the clock on the microwave, it's 3 a.m.
Oh.
So I was like, what in the world? So I'm like, I guess I'll go back to bed. And I asked my mom the next morning, why did you come to my room at 3 a.m.? She's like, I didn't go to your room. I was fast asleep.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And then we had some other things that happened. We're like, there was, I felt like I couldn't sleep. I was had this really negative feeling. And I could see at the edge of my bed, like somebody was sitting on the edge of my bed. Mm. So I'm like, this is all in my head, you know, trying to rationalize, I'm imagining things. So I got up to turn on my radio to calm my nerves. And my dresser was sitting right next to my bed. And that's where I saw the line, my jewelry box toppled off of my dresser. So whatever was there got up to.
Oh, yeah.
And so at that point, I'm like freaking out. I'm praying. And then just at that moment, I think again, it was around 2-3 in the morning, our phone rings. And it was a family friend calling from Florida. Rick answered the phone and he's like, hey guys, I just wanted to see how y'all are doing and if everything's okay. At 2-3 in the morning, in Florida, it was like 4 in the morning. And he was calling to check on us because he just had a feeling something wasn't right.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So yeah. So yeah, I had a couple of, and it's weird because nobody else really experienced anything in that house but me. And the stuff that I experienced was not very friendly.
Well, the one that called you. Clearly there's something on that side too for them to just be like,
Right.
Well, during that time that we were in that house, I started having the first experiences of being an insomnia. So I'd be up at,
You were up at that time,
4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, either playing solitaire or just, listening to the silence. And, and like with her, it was like, I was actually, weird things were happening to me. Mm-hmm. Remember the piece of the curtain that drove itself into my arm?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh yeah, we had to call our stepfather to come over and remove it from me because
it drove itself into your arm.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a similar experience with the window where I was, my best friend was over, the one who passed away, and it was my birthday. She came over to spend the night. And so we had dinner in my room, and I was laying on my bed. My mirror window was right by my bed, so I had my foot up on the bed, the window. My mom came in and she's like, "Hey, you need to take your stuff to the kitchen so I can wash dishes." I got up, stepped away from the window, and it shattered.
Wow.
My dad and my stepdad and my mom came in. They looked around. There was nothing thrown through the window. They called the cops. Cops came out and investigated. There was nothing around. They had no explanation as to why that window shattered.
Wow,
So
that's
yeah, we
amazing. But
again.
that's spirit guide. Going back to what we were talking about, having your spirit guide have somebody jump in and move you out of that space. That's what we're talking
Interesting.
about, right? That's somebody stepping in and going,
This
that's
isn't supposed to be on your path.
that window's about to shatter and you're not supposed to be there. And somebody saying, hey, could you come over here? You need to whatever it. Yes,
That's
that's
interesting.
intervention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting. The guy that called that night, he had an experience himself, which I think opened him up. He was in Vietnam and he actually died in Vietnam. He appeared before his mother as a spirit. He remembers it and his mother remembered it. And then right after he appeared to her, he woke up in the body bag and came back. So I really think
Wow.
that that opened him up when he had that
Oh
experience.
yeah. Well, just waking up in a body bag would probably open me up to a lot of different things.
Right.
Just saying, I'm thinking, yeah, when you're done having a second heart attack because you're locked into a body bag and then get up again,
And you saw your,
yeah.
yeah, that's so awful.
That's a whole lot of stuff. That's
Yeah.
crazy. You guys
So, yeah.
both mentioned, and I have a very philosophical question that we can all jump in on.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So when I get readings, a lot of times, you know, I talk about the haunted houses that I grew up in, or every house I go into seems to have some type of haunting.
Yes.
And I said, well, is it the houses that have been haunted, or is it your abilities that bring things into you to either help them or to scare you or to, and the more psychics that I talk to, you guys included, have seemed to have lived in haunted houses a lot in their youth.
I've
Yep.
often thought about that myself because, as I said, my mom was very gifted. Those are just the houses that we've lived in ourselves. But even before we came along, my mom was living in haunted houses.
Yes, it's because they're following you because you can help. I
Well,
mean, really.
some of the things that she had, I don't know if they wanted help.
I
She's
mean,
had,
no, at least they don't want help. It's
yeah, I
not
mean, they're there for
that.
their reason.
Yeah, exactly. But they know that you can
Yeah.
sense them and they take advantage of
Yeah.
that. That's what I
I
believe.
think, and that's kind of what we talked about too. Richard, what do you feel about it?
I kind of feel like 50-50.
Okay,
Yeah,
fair.
it's basically that the house may be haunted. It may be something that I'm bringing in. So,
Yeah. Well, you did also live in that apartment that was haunted by the teenage gangbanger.
oh yeah, that was fun. Good
Yeah.
boy.
Or it becomes haunted because they're like, hey, this person can
Yeah.
see me and I want to be seen.
Well, the landlady already told me the house was haunted.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. And he did come to you and said, what the F are you doing in my house? Get the F
Yeah.
out.
Boy. Thanks for the great
That's
welcome.
happy haunted.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it was very interesting. I remember the first time I went over to his apartment, there were footprints at the bottom of the door where somebody was like trying to kick the door in. And I was like, why are there footprints? What were you doing? He's like, that wasn't me.
Oh boy.
I was like, what do you
Well,
mean? He's like, I woke up and those were there.
a week after I moved out, the management called me on the phone saying, hey, did you have anything else in the house with where do you after you moved out? I said, no, I don't think so. Why? Somebody had kicked in the door, and from what it looked like, they kicked it from the inside out.
Wow.
Wow.
That's frightening.
Yes.
You've had some frightening experience. I haven't had
Yeah.
a lot of frightening
Which is
experiences.
why I kind of really don't,
And yes, and understand because there are those that will see the darker, that that sometimes it's because everybody's got a it seems, and I don't want to say everybody, that's a generalization, but we seem to flock to certain people or certain I don't want to say even genres, that's music, but certain types of people that come to us to cross, right? One of our mentors that we've talked about here, hers is psychopaths. For some reason, give her a good mass murderer, a psychopath, and they can find her all day long in terms of like, hey, you know, help me out.
What?
Okay.
I don't even like watching too many of the modern day horror movies.
Right. I mean, but for you, it seems like there is something about that that they recognize
And it's
there.
interesting because I've heard that tortured souls attract tortured souls. And, you know, and that's why I feel like I've always been very compassionate to people, is because I have had a lot of trauma in my past. And maybe on the other side, they can sense that. And that, because I even have people that I meet in my life that are, you know, not the best people that you really want to be friends with, but for some reason, they want to be friends with me. And so I maybe that carries over to the other side as well. They can sense that you have that compassion, that you're not going to really judge them and you're going to help them out. So, but
Agree.
I one have always believed, because I know some people believe that, oh, there's only goodness out there, and when people die, all there is their goodness. I believe when you die, what you were in this life, you're going to be in that life, for one. And I do believe there are dark entities out there as well that you need to be careful of.
Agreed.
And so that's part of why I think for me it's been hard to open up, because I do have that innate fear of what if I attract something that means
Not
more
nice.
harm. Yeah, not nice. And actually, like I said, they get their kicks out of scaring you and harming you. And
Right.
I don't want to attract anything like that. So I think that's why I haven't been able to develop my intuition as well as I want to.
And you know, that's really true for a lot of people who get into the fear. And if you take it from a different, because the perspective of energy, fear is opposite of courage, or not courage, curiosity. So if you're really scared, if you can try to get over to curious rather than being afraid of what you're seeing, it changes the energy and how it approaches you as well.
Yeah,
Something to think
there's
about as you continue to try to.
And grounding. It's a lot of setting up the old ground clear protect, right? You're grounded, clear in your mind, and that protection's around you. And when I'm saying it, it is nothing negative, nothing not intended for me, for my highest good or the highest good of others. And it's all, if it's in situations like that where I'm feeling a little fear, I ground, I clear, I protect. And then I'm like, what are you afraid of? There is nothing, the dead demons and things, I cannot say it's the same thing.
We don't know a lot about
The
those.
dead, I mean, because I know that they can come through and do very bad things.
We respect that.
I deeply believe that. But in terms of the dead, they can't hurt you in this plane. It's the evil, and that's when you've got to really set yourself up for the curiosity and a lot of protection. And when you leave somewhere, like Richard, if you go see your mom at that location again, then that's a lot of, you know, as you're leaving and you get outside, you're like grounding and you clear it and it's all back here and I'm not, and nothing comes with me. No attachments, nothing comes tagging along. You don't get to go.
Yeah, definitely. That's something I need to work on. I have ADHD, so it's, I found it very hard for me to ground because my brain is always up here, and so I'm trying to get it to come down, and with the grounding.
Well, when it comes to, I also do have ADHD, Kim. You know
I
that.
know.
My grounding
It's
is constant. Like I've said, I've told just about every person we've talked to who is sensitive, photosensitive, I have shut myself down when it comes to something like, you know, because of that innate fear that I went through.
Oh, I don't blame you.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, I once had my friend who's a medium, she's like, your brain is like a NASCAR race going 50 miles an hour just around the track over and over again. I was like, you get
This is why we're
So,
friends.
yes. Yes. Well, this has been a interesting, very interesting conversation. I thank you so much for coming. We'd love to have you on again. I know we were supposed to talk about Stanley Hotel also and your experiences there, but if y'all are up for it, we'd love to have you back for that sometime.
Of course.
That sounds great. Thank you
Yes.
for having us. It was
Yes. Oh,
really
not a
fun.
problem.
This has been
Where
wonderful.
can we find you in the World Wide Web?
So you can find us. The best place to go is right out to Immersive Spirit, which is Immersive Spirit.com. And all of our socials are on there, our blogs on there. You can do scheduling, see what our services are. So, if you want a reading, whether it's tarot or intuitive, whether, if you're looking for some Reiki, if you are looking to do, you have a something going on in your property where you've got some haunting issues you want us to come and take a look at and either tell you what we think is going on or help cross those entities over if possible, if that's their path, we're happy to help.
Yes.
Our goal is to be as helpful to others as we possibly can, serve as many as we can.
That is awesome. Do you have any upcoming events or anything that you want to plug as well?
We do have we're teaching at another site for the Sage Method, if you've ever heard of Isabeau Maxwell. But she we're going to be doing a couple of different things at her retreat in Washington in June.
And she's one of our mentors and a fantastic person.
Yeah, she's a great reader. And then I've got just a little festival coming up in Kalispell, which is just outside of my town where I'm at, live in Whitefish, Montana, and I'm normally at. And that's the Fairy, I think it's the Fairy Flathead Festival. It's the first annual. So I'm very excited. I'm going to be there doing readings and offering Reiki for a couple of
I'm
days, and
super
that's
jaded
in
ghost hunt
July.
too.
Oh,
Oh,
yes, and next
wow.
week. Talk about that.
We're just doing a ghost hunt at one of the hotels. So we're thinking about maybe trying to do evidentiary filming, and we might start a YouTube channel, or we'll see how that goes.
We're going to
But
see how it
just
goes.
a ghost hunt.
Right.
Awesome. That's what I want to do. I just got to find people to do it with me because he's like, I'm not going with you. You have to
Right?
do
I'm
that
like, no way. Yeah, we'll be in Cripple Creek, Colorado next weekend. So,
on your own. Oh,
which
awesome.
is, we've been there for other similar things, right? But we're not going to take anybody else with us this time so that we can really
Just go there.
sit and be
Yes.
in it and be in those moments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't there
So
supposed to
we'll
be a
let you know how it
woman?
goes. Yeah.
Yes. Isn't there supposed to be a woman in red in one of the casinos or something like that?
Maggie.
Yes.
Yep. The
Yeah.
high
Yeah.
heeled Maggie.
Yeah.
Yeah. We
At
lived
least
in.
she's not at least she's not a woman in white.
Not in Cripple Creek.
Yes. Yes. I went there with my parent, my dad, and my stepmom when we lived in Denver. We went to, there for a weekend. They wanted to gamble, and so I heard some of the stories of
Oh,
Maggie and was
yeah.
trying to feel out, see if I could sense her while we were there, but I think there was just too many people, so she was hiding.
Oh, yeah.
Yep,
It's
exactly.
lots of good stuff going on there. I thought, was there one other event you had coming up? Local? I don't remember. I thought there was something else we had too, but those were the big ones. And we need to make a better point of, I'll make sure events are listed out on our website as well so that people
Awesome.
can follow along on those.
Awesome. Well, if everyone knows where they can find us, we
First
are
of yes, you can find
on
us at
just kidding.
skepticpsychic.com. We also do have a our Facebook page, again, skepticpsychic.com, and you could probably find our podcast on just about every outlet and podcasting device that you can.
Yes, our actually for Facebook, it's a group we
Yes.
have where people of like-minded come and hang out, and we post memes and different things there. It's a safe place for believers and non-believers. And if you are listening to our podcasts, yes, we do ask that you rate us with 5 stars.
5 stars. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes, if you do, if you can, leave a review. We read them on air. We desperately need reviews, so please review us. And anything else I forgot to add before we sign off for this week?
Just unpleasant nightmares.
Sweet dreams, everybody. Take
Good
care.
night. Good night.